This is Dr. Mike. We're going to do the six and seven step tonight, and I'm going to play Joe and Charlie for 13 minutes, and I'm going to record this, and then I will pick it up at the meeting where we go through the information presented. This is a very powerful 13 minutes on how to do six and seven. It certainly changed my life. I really had no idea of what six and seven was involved until I listened to them and started studying and practicing it. We have the spiritual checklist on the website, experiencethebigbook.org. The website has materials on recovery. We have the spiritual checklist. We use that. The left-hand side is the personality of a person living on self-will, selfish, dishonest, resentful, inconsiderate, judgmental, intolerant, greedy, lustful, self-pity, resentment. There are about 25 things on there that are true for almost all of us. And then it has on the right-hand side the personality characteristics of a God-centered person. There are several questions that you can that are listed on this underneath that as how you can tell if it's your will versus God's will versus ego. And I use that every day. I meditate actually on that spiritual checklist every morning. Look at the left-hand side, ask God to help me practice the right-hand side. So we're going to play Joe and Charlie now, and then you'll hear my discussion of it at the meeting tonight.
Step six, we have emphasized willingness as being indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove from us all the things which we have admitted are objectionable? Can he now take them all, every one? If we still cling to something we will not let go, we ask God to help us be willing, and that's all of step six. And if you'll notice, he didn't say a thing about defects of character, did he? He did say those we have admitted are objectionable. Now surely, surely, in step four and five, when we looked out into that fifth column, and we saw that old selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, inconsiderate character that we have become, when we saw that those are what cause us to do the things that hurt people, they in turn retaliate, we in turn resent, we're afraid, we're filled with guilt and remorse, causes us to drink, then surely, those things in the fifth column have now become objectionable to us. Are we ready to turn them loose? If we are, we're through with step six. The book recognizes, though, that self cannot always overcome self, because it says if we're not ready, we ask God to help us be willing to turn these things loose. Now, you would think when we see what they do to us, we'd be more than willing, but sometimes we're not. You know, we human beings are funny people. So sometimes we would rather sit in today's pain and suffering because we've kind of learned how to take care of that. Sometimes we'd rather sit in today's pain and suffering than take a chance on changing in the future because we don't know what change will bring. You see, if I have to get rid of my selfishness and become unselfish, then how am I going to get what I want in the future? If I'm going to have to get rid of my dishonesty and start operating honestly, how in the hell am I going to make a living? I don't know nothing about honesty when I get here. If I'm going to have to start getting rid of my self-seeking, frightened character and start operating on courage, that scares the hell out of me. I don't know nothing about that. If I'm going to have to start considering other people and their needs and their wants, then who's going to take care of me? Sometimes we would rather sit in today's pain and take a chance on changing in the future. And the book recognized that and said, if you're not willing, you ask God to help you be willing. And with God's help, we become willing. We're through with six. When ready, we say something like this, my Creator, I'm now willing you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character. Whoop, we're in step seven now. And it said shortcomings, but here he calls. See what he's done to us? He confused the hell out of us, didn't he? You betcha. I pray you now remove from every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. We then completed step seven. Are you ready to have God remove them? If you are, you're through with six. Have you humbly asked him to take them away? If you have, you've done step seven. But I hope you don't make the mistake I did. I assume that now that I'm ready, and God being all-powerful, all I've got to do is turn to God and say, okay, God, here I am, warts and all, zap me and give me the $29.95 special, and I'll never have to worry about this stuff again. I found out it won't work that way. God will do for me what I can't do for myself. I simply do not have the power to remove a character defect. Only God has that power. God will not do for me what I can do for myself. And what I can do for myself is find out the opposite of that character defect. And then with God's help and all the willpower I can muster, in every situation that comes up, try to practice the opposite. Because you see, God can't take away my selfishness and leave another hole in my head. It's going to have to be replaced with the opposite, which is unselfishness. And when I first got here, my mind was a set of mental habits ingrained in 38, 39, 40 years of living. The habitual thing for me was to react selfishly. And the only way you break a habit is to work against yourself. And if I ask God to take away selfishness and I start trying to practice unselfishness, slowly the old habit dies and a new habit takes its place. And over a period of years, I have become an unselfish human being. I am not what I was when I first got here. If I want God to take away dishonesty, then I must do my part, which is to practice honesty in every situation that comes up. And God, that's hard for me to do. That is so alien to my nature. And I can't practice honesty without God's help, but with God's power, all the willpower I can muster, I can force myself to be honest, and slowly the old idea dies and a new one takes its place. The habitual thing for me today is to react to any situation with honesty. If I want God to take away fear, then I've got to kick myself in the butt and practice courage. If I want him to take away inconsideration, then I must start considering other people and their needs and their wants, and slowly the old idea dies and a new idea takes its place. The book says, we were reborn. I am not what I used to be. Now, I'm not completely unselfish, never will be. I'm not always completely honest. Sometimes I'm afraid, and at other times I'm inconsiderate, but the majority of the time, I'm an unselfish, honest human being with courage, considering other people first. You know, I think you and I are the luckiest people in the world. We have the opportunity through these two little steps right here to live two lifetimes in one lifetime. Most people out there are sick. Most of them are going to the grave sick, not even knowing they're sick. We not only know we're sick, we know what's wrong with us. We found it in steps 4 and 5, and in 6 and 7, we can do something about it, and we can change it, and we become entirely different human beings. Most people don't get that opportunity. Now be careful. For God's sake, be careful. Because if you really accept this as the correct thing, the right thing, then that means from this day on, you are responsible for what you are. I can't blame it on Barbara any longer. Can't blame it on mother and dad. I can't blame it on God, and I can't blame it on society. If I stay selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, and inconsiderate, it's got to be because that's the way I want to be. I no longer have the luxury of blaming it on others because I don't have to be that way. And you know what I found out? I found out that when you become unselfish, people start kind of liking you a little better than they did before. I found out when you start becoming honest, well, hell, you feel better about yourself. That's the way you build self-esteem, is to do the right thing for a change. I found out when I practice with courage and operate on courage instead of fear, I do things that makes me feel better. And I quit doing things that used to make me feel so bad. Oh, I found out that there's real pleasure in considering other people first and giving to others before you take for yourself. I didn't know that. How the hell could I know that? I've never been that way before. This thing absolutely amazes me in what happens to us and the simplicity of this thing if we'll just do what the book says, Joe.
You know, there's always a paradox in AA. To give you an idea of what a paradox is, how many of you have ever called your sponsor so you could listen? We always call them so we can talk, right? That's the paradox. And the paradox here in these two steps is that they use the doctor's opinion in the first four chapters to do step one and two, 3.5 pages for step three, 8 pages for step four, 4 pages for step five, and a whole chapter devoted to working with others. The paradox is that two of the biggest steps in all of Alcoholics Anonymous is on two little paragraphs, 6 and 7. And these are the tools of change. These are the tools of acceptance. A lot of people talk about just running around accepting things. I accept this, I accept that. Well, I can't do that. Acceptance comes after some actions. 6 and 7, the acceptance comes after the actions of 6 and 7. You know, there's a story in another book about this guy named Judas. Judas could not accept what he had done. And what did he do? Killed himself. That's the importance of acceptance. And you can't accept anything unless you take some actions. And he didn't do steps 6 and 7, didn't have them. And the other story is that there's a story in this other book about this guy. His name was Saul. Saul was on riding his ass on the way to Damascus. Big bolt of lightning come down, knocked him off his ass on his ass. That's the way I read it. He gets up and he dusts himself off, and this big voice come out of the sky and said, "Saul, can we talk?" Yeah, we can talk. What do you want to talk about? Had to get his attention, didn't he? Maybe alcoholism had to get our attention. And he said, "Yeah, Saul, you've been a very selfish individual, and you've harmed a lot of people, and you're very resentful and angry, and you've harmed a lot of people by those attitudes." And he said, "I want you to quit doing that." And he said, "Well, how do you quit doing that?" He said, "Well, do these things. And if you'll do that, then you'll make a change. And when you change, then we'll call you Paul." Well, he did those things and became Paul. Now, we know that Paul was one of the greatest writers the world's ever known. And in the Corinthians, town of Corinth, they asked Paul one day, said, "Paul," said, "what is the secret to living?" And he said, "The secret to living is daily dying. The old Saul had to die so the new Paul came alive." See, 6 and 7. And by the time I got to 6 and 7, I could see what I had become as a result of the previous steps. And I didn't like what I had become. And a little doubt crept in my mind. Can God really change me from what I have become to what He intends for me to be? And then I had to reaffirm and rethink about this idea. On page 53, it said, God either is or He isn't. He either can or He can't. And what was my choice going to be? And I chose to believe that He could. The tools of change, to change from what I had become to that which God intended for me, 6 and 7. Two of the biggest steps in all of Alcoholics Anonymous.
And just before the...
So, they make some tremendous points, and they really clarify the role of 6 and 7, which is how I'm going to change. If I do steps 4 and 5... What they call the fifth column, some people call it the fourth column, but it's the page that says, let's look for our mistakes. Where was I selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, or afraid? And I can see how these characteristics on the left-hand side, these characteristics of self, caused me to have anger. They caused me to be afraid and take actions based on fear. They caused me to harm myself and others and make decisions based on self. and they hurt me, and that was the cause of my disease. It was not alcohol. Alcohol was a solution for when I didn't feel life didn't treat me right. I didn't think it was fair because I was living on self-will, but I couldn't see it. And if I continue to have the selfish, self-centered personality, nothing's going to be changed. So I was ready and willing to change my personality. But they make the point that self cannot always overcome self. And I need God's help. God, help me be willing and ready to change. And he talks about why some people aren't willing to change. Well, I think they talk about people are scared to change, but I think it's because they haven't truly accepted how their character defects have caused them harm. They haven't accepted their self-centered personality as the cause of the problems in their life, and they still haven't completely taken step one completely. And so step four and five is essential, and I don't change with four or five. I get information, I get some peace, I do learn how to forgive and say the prayers and freedom from resentment. I do learn the prayers and how to be freedom from fear. And I've learned through my sex conduct and how I've harmed people to try to shape a sane sex ideal, but I haven't changed yet. And so how do I change so each day I don't get angry, I don't get fearful, and I don't harm people? And so I have to ask God to become willing, and I really want to have all of them removed. But some days, we're human beings, we are less willing to have some character defects removed by others, and then what happens? We don't feel well, things don't go right, and then we see and become willing. So some days we're more willing to have some character defects removed than others. The ones I have to watch for constantly are judgment, intolerance, and fear. They also talk about shortcoming versus character defects. The shortcoming is I'm short of the characteristics of a person on God's will. So if I'm short of love, I'm full of anger and hate. If I'm sure of honesty, I'm dishonest. If I'm short of courage, I have fear. And so they're the opposites of the characteristics of God. And I do believe, for me, that when I do my inventory and I look at myself, I created the person that separated from God. The person God created was always had the characteristics of him. I separated from that and became the characteristics of me running my show, running my life, playing God. And it didn't work. And so they talk about step seven, you humbly ask, humbly seeking the power of God. They talk about in the 12 of 12, true humility, seeking to grow in the image of our Creator. And there's an amen at the end of the step seven prayer. And some people say that step three to step seven is all a prayer with God with you. And you don't have an amen after step three, and it is after step seven. I don't know if they did it that way, but it's a good way to look at it. And they talk about how, well, some people, I've heard some people in meetings say, well, I said the six and seven, I'm willing and I've said the prayer and these defects aren't removed, so they must not be inhibiting me from my usefulness to God. Well, I think that's a little alcoholic thinking there. If I'm still gonna hold on to things and not let go, God's not gonna remove them. And they talk about God doesn't just zap us and we become these perfect people with all the characteristics of God. God it will do for me what I cannot do for myself, and I realize that, but he won't do for me what I can do for myself. And I have to be willing to let go. I have to be willing to change, and I have to be willing to practice a different way. And I have to be willing to do that all the time. Now, how do I know when I need to do that? Well, I don't feel good. I'm disturbed, something's bothering me, and there's some characteristic of self coming into play. So I have to stop and say, I'm the problem, what's wrong with me? What character defect is coming in? God, help me see things differently. Help me practice a different way of reacting or seeing the situation. See it through love, see it through tolerance, see it through consideration, have courage, remove fear. And so I can practice the opposite of my character defect. Now, they make the point, it was true for me, I don't know about you, but I was very good at practicing my character defects of a selfish, self-centered personality. That's the way I always reacted to things. That's the way I saw the world, because I was running the world and I was playing God. So in the beginning, it's hard to start seeing it the other way. But over time, the more I practice, the better I get at recognizing quickly when I'm on the left-hand side, and stopping and asking God is when I have a relationship with Him. And then I practice the opposite. And we don't stop doing this at any point in our recovery. It says in step 10, we watch during the day for selfish dishonesty, resentment, and fear. And it says it at night in step 11, when we retire at night, I look back, where was I selfish, dishonest, resentful, afraid? Constantly inventorying, constantly asking God to remove them. It says step 10, when these crop up, I ask God at once to remove them. And if I have a relationship with God, and in step 10, I'm in the world of the Spirit with God, God will remove them. And so my selfishness can be replaced by unselfishness, but I have to be willing to change and willing to practice with God's help. I can't do it on my own, because on my own I'll see things self-centered and I won't recognize it, but I can recognize it when I've done working the steps with God, with my awareness of my Creator, when I see things wrong, and then I have the opportunity to stop. It says, when agitated or doubtful, we pause and ask God to direct our thinking. The principles of turning away from our character defects, turning away from my self-centeredness, is the basic step in Alcoholics Anonymous. Letting go, turning away, turning to God. And they make the point that I've always reacted selfishly, so I have to work against myself in the beginning. As I've been doing it for years, I recognize right away when I'm starting to get judgmental or intolerant or bothered by something or see the fear or see self-pity. I can see them quickly, and I try to let go of them right away. What is always astonishing to me is how sometimes I hold on to the character defect for a while and why I don't get rid of it right away. But that's the riddle of our existence. And as the old habit dies, it's replaced with the opposite. And so I'm not the person I used to be. And hopefully today I'm not the person I was a year ago. I hope I continue to grow spiritually, but it really depends entirely on how well I continue to do my prayer and meditation each day, and how I work 10, 11, and try to practice the principles in all my affairs. And some days and weeks I do better than others, but I'm continually trying to grow spiritually in the image of my Creator. And it says we are reborn. I'm not what I used to be. And I think that's the goal of the AA program, is not to not drink and be sober, but to have sobriety, emotional sobriety, to not be the person you used to be, a person who's trying to live in the image of their Creator. And so we have to do 6 and 7 all the time, through prayer, meditation, and action and inventory. And they talk about how we can live 2 lifetimes. We don't have to be the person we were before. And alcoholics, when we do our 4th and 5th step and we see the result, we're very willing to change. And then we continue that in steps 10 and 11 every day. And so 6 and 7 is how I begin to take the action to change my personality with the information from steps 4 and 5. Now, there's a warning, and I think it's very powerful, that if I truly accept 6 and 7, and I can't blame anybody else for my day. I'll ask people, how's your day? And if my day's bad, it's because I made it that way. All my days should be okay. It doesn't mean things can't happen that I don't like or dislike, but I can react in a positive way to everything if I'm working 6 and 7. And I can't blame anybody else for my problems, and if I'm disturbed, there's something wrong with me. And if I change, I'll see people differently. They'll change in the way I see them, but they may not have changed at all, just the way I see them. And then I'll react better to them and get along with them, and they'll get along better with me. And this is how you build self-esteem. And this is how you change the third column in your resentment inventory. Remember, we said that you're threatened whenever you're in self. Your instincts of life are threatened. You get angry. But I don't have to be threatened anymore if I'm trying to see things the way God sees them. Then they won't bother me. And so you build self-esteem, you take better actions, you live better, you feel better. Now, they talk about the paradox of AA is that they only have two paragraphs for 6 and 7. I think that's because it was so obvious to them after a thorough 4 and 5 what was wrong that people were willing to immediately and humbly ask God to remove them. And then they go right into amends and restitution. And then in step 10 and 11, they talk about how you do 6 and 7 every day. It says, carry a vision of God's will into all of activities. My vision of God's will for me is to have the personality characteristics of my Creator and to practice those characteristics in my life. And they talk about these are the tools of change. And then they talk about Saul going to Paul, which is a powerful story. And, you know, Saul was self-centered, doing horrible things. God came to him and said, if you change and if you do these things, you'll become Paul. And he was a changed person. And then he says, living daily, daily dying is how we live, dying from self. And that's the St. Francis prayer, for is by self-forgetting that one finds. And can God do it is their question. Can God really change me? That's the page 52-53. What is my choice? Is God everything or nothing? Well, I know God can do it because God's relieved my obsession of the mind to drink. And I can see the changes in my life. I can see how God's changed me. And I know if I turn to Him, I will change. And so that is the central fact of my life today, that I do have a relationship with my Creator. And when I use His power, I can change my personality. So I make the choice every day, all day long. Is it, am I in charge or is God? Who is God everything or nothing? And when I choose God nothing, I'm back on the left-hand side. I'm back in the self. Things don't look good. When I choose God as everything, I'm on the right-hand side, and I see things differently, and I react differently. What a gift. What a gift this program has given to me. Thank you.